This is Global Media News on all WWR Old Westbury Web Radio. I'm Monica Crespo.
And I'm Muhammad Fregal. This will be Media News from China, Brazil, Russia, Nicaragua, and Somalia.
From China.
What is the Chinese government up to in Africa? Are Africans being influenced by Chinese soft power?
From Brazil.
Can the government keep gay comics off the shelves?
From Russia.
How will Russia's anti-gay law affect gaming music?
From Nicaragua.
Can President Daniel Ortega keep the Nicaraguan press in check?
From Somalia.
Will female journalists in Somalia survive and drive after all the troubles they've seen?
All this and more coming up on OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, streaming live from the State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
Let's begin with a report about Chinese activities in Africa. The Chinese government sent to its image and shape public opinion. John Greenberg is the Chinese big. John, what drew you towards the topic? Why is China so interested in African media these days?
This topic is much different than what I've covered so far this semester. I'm still covering China, just not cartoons, spies, or apps. China is known for two things, censorship and infrastructure. Both are coming into play here.
Why is China trying to influence African media?
China wants to reshape how the world views them, with Africa just being a victim of their practices. Essentially, China is building many different infrastructure projects at a high cost with the intent to put these countries in debt. Forbes reports that a railway system, the price tag of $3.6 billion, was built between Kenya's capital to a coastal major city. On one hand, this allows Kenyans easier access to goods, though this is not an easy debt to pay back. This is where China enters into the country's media. Modern-day involvement in African media from China started with less than ideal coverage of the Beijing Olympics in 2008, though it has been going on for decades prior. China built a news agency in Cairo in 1958, followed by a radio station 9 years later, The Economist reports.
What do some of the stories posted by Chinese influenced media look like?
One of the more interesting twists on modern-day events can be found with the infamous Ebola outbreak. Stories on this emphasize China's involvement in containing the disease and treating those impacted, as if China was the savior of the world in 2014. In 2018, a columnist for The Independent had a story pulled on mistreatment of Uyghur Muslims in China as to not upset Chinese investors, Forbes Africa reports, a New York-based news source. Also, the switch from analog to digital broadcasting left a large portion of the Kenyan population obsolete television sets, Standard Digital reports, a privately owned Kenyan news source. The switch is described as a push with no negotiation to allow Kenyans to watch television for a longer period of time while the switch takes place. There is plenty of underhandedness and borderline corruption associated with this involvement in African media.
How does China's involvement in Africa affect residents?
With colonialism, there is an obvious threat these residents face when they face of China. Typho Leo, a Swahili language privately owned newspaper in Central and Eastern Africa, reports that Chinese language classes have started to be taught in colleges in Kenya. Also, jobs that normally would go to the Kenyan workforce are being outsourced to China. In certain of the media, the Xinhua, or Chinese news agency, is distributing the news throughout the country, which the news source describes as free of charge. In the same story, government officials seem much more concerned with the positive Chinese involvement has brought to the country, citing easier transportation and access to resources. Colonialism is far from a new concept, though the looming threat of a loss of freedoms if the Chinese government doesn't receive what they want still stands. I have a clip of the Foreign Minister of China, Wang Yi, who is taking a question about Chinese-African relations from the China Global Television Network, for the CGTN reporter.
Congratulations to the CGTN on your success. General Secretary Xi Jinping once made a powerful statement. China and Africa are friends tested by adversity. Such friends must never be forgotten. So be assured, no matter how the world may change or what others might say, that the final friendship between China and Africa will remain unbreakable, and China's promise of sincerity, real results, friendship, and good faith will remain the same. So, this is your agenda, Hong Xiu Ji.
For Global Media News, I'm John Greenberg. Back to you, Mohan.
Thank you, Jim. Why are so many governance studies about gay media content? Let's talk about the crackdown on gay images in Brazil and Russia.
My co-host Mohamed Fergali is ready with a report about Brazilian media. Mohamed, tell us the story of what happened to a comic book at a recent book fair in Brazil. Can you start off by giving us some info on the current landscape of Brazil?
Well, according to BBC Country Profiles, Brazil is one of the world's fastest growing countries in terms of media growth and tech media consumption. Recently, however, the country has been on a mission to silence LGBTQ storytellers and censor certain content from the public. Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro has been instrumental in restoring the censoring of LGBT content in this country, with him canceling state funding for television content that featured LGBT themes or characters. This decision suspended over $70 million in government spending, with its effect put on hold, both completely canceling TV series and movies involvement. However, this is not where the discrimination in this country stops. The latest controversy came when the mayor of the capital of Brazil, Marcelo Crivella, ordered a complete ban of Avengers comic book from Rio, or Festival, according to CNN, because it featured a homosexual relationship between two heroes and having sharing a kiss in one scene. The Marvel comic book, Avengers of the Children's Crusade, tells the story of a group of young heroes trying to find a place in the world that ironically is scary. The comic book features a relationship between two heroes, Ethan and Vulcan. The two characters have been on comic couple since their creation in 2005 by comic book writer Alan Heinberg, but the kiss was symbolic between the pages of the comic book because it had been the first on-screen kiss in over a decade. The kiss is so remarkable that even though the two fictional characters must embrace each other daily in the world, it was the first time he's ever shown to the reader in 14 years since their first publication. However, this is not the first time Marvel Comics has shown a page kiss between two men as far as the last time ever. So it's interesting that this specific panel of the two new heroes kissing that got the comic ban ended. After the ban of the comic book during the 31st annual book fair, the mayor had all the copies of the issue seized by officers of the theater. Mayor Crivella, who had been quoted in the past calling homosexuality a terrible behavior, added to say when asked to comment on the issue, "Guys, we need to protect our children." As a result, we have determined that the bullying organizations collect books with content that is unsuitable for minors. This was quoted in an article in the Washington Post.
How did all of this start?
This issue sparked fire in the biggest newspaper in the country, Folha de São Paulo, printed out an article detailing what happened along with the image of the two comic book characters kissing on the front page. In response, a handful of artists took measures into their own hands. Released reports that the author of the Avengers comic book, Amanda Quiroz, took to the streets away from the fair to sell copies of her comic book, where she had been silenced or censored. The Real Times reported that Brazilian YouTuber Philly needed to buy over 10,000 LGBT books at the fair and distributed them. In the end, Brazil's highest court ruled that banning books over LGBTQ plus content was illegal, claiming that it was a violation of rights and Quiroz could sell her book without being confiscated by the mayor's office. According to Global Media News, I'm Mohamed Fergali. Back to you, Monica.
Thanks, Mohamed. Olivia Ferrara is on the Russian media beat, and she also has a story about the censorship of gay media content. Olivia, Vladimir Putin seems to have some very strong opinions about gay people and gay media content. Is there actually a law that bans gay content in Russian media?
Yes. In Russia, there is indeed a law that bans gay content in Russian media. The name of this law is called For the Purpose of Protecting Children from Information Advocating for Denial of Traditional Family Values. This law was passed on June 11, 2013. What it means is that Vladimir Putin does not want children to be exposed to homosexual acts. This includes homosexuality in games or movies. According to Rossiyska Tuskaya Gazeta, a Russian government-based newspaper, Article 6.21 of the law states, advocacy of non-traditional sexual relations among minors expressed in dissemination of information in that at the formation of sub-adult non-traditional sexual attitudes shall entail the imposition of an administrative fine on citizens in the amount of 4,000 to 5,000 rubles. This law affects the gaming community greatly. EA, also called Electronic Arts, has been hit hard with this gay propaganda law. The Sims, which than 18 years of age cannot purchase a skateboard. According to The Conversation, an independent, nonprofit publisher, the argument here is that the gay couplings in The Sims 4 are harmful to children and equates the game with violent titles, such as Serious Grand Theft Auto or Call of Duty. In addition, the propaganda law especially affects the movie industry, with well-known singer Elton John. Elton John wrote the song Rocket Man. The song was then created into a movie. The movie is based on Elton John's life and how he became famous. In the movie, there are multiple homosexual scenes due to the gay propaganda law. The homosexual scenes have been cut out, which ultimately changed the entire movie. Many Russians were upset by this, as was Elton John.
Why did you pick this topic?
I picked this topic because I was born in Russia and I am part of the LGBTQ community. Although I no longer live in Russia, it is still very upsetting to hear that the LGBTQ community is still experiencing backlash all because they identify something that goes against traditional values.
Do you think this law will eventually be overturned?
I really hope this law is no longer a law anymore. However, I don't think because this law was enacted in 2013, and 2019 is already coming to an end. It would be almost 7 years that this law has been enacted for. I don't think the union has any plans to overturn this law at all, which is very upsetting. For Global Media News, I'm Olivia Farr. Back to Monica.
Thanks, Olivia. The Nicaraguan revolution that overthrew the corrupt dictatorship of Somoza in 1979 is more than 40 years ago. Well, what has changed? Is there press freedom today under the government of Daniel Ortega? The former revolutionary helped overthrow Somoza in 1979.
Oscar Mercedes is here to talk about media and government Ortega's Nicaragua. Oscar, tell us a little bit about the government of Daniel Ortega. Is it true that he was once a revolutionary leader of the Frente Sandinista, or FSLN?
Yeah, he actually helped the resurgence of the Somoza government. From an early age, he never liked the Somoza government because, just like everybody else in the country, they felt like they were in the dictation. He helped spark the evolution to open so the Somoza became the successful officer. He then became the president of the Somoza community. He was widely seen as a reformer.
How is Ortega governing Nicaragua now?
Ever since he came back to power in 2006, he's taken a more authoritarian approach to governing the country. Many of the other cities in government have said that he's forgotten where he came from. He reformed the constitution to allow him to go for re-election in limited times. He gave himself more power and slowly he's eliminated any opposition to Nicaragua, led to a 2016 election for Ukraine on the first.
What are some of the ways he's attempted to limit the media?
He's labeled the media as terrorist and made all protesting illegal, despite reforming the Constitution. Freedom of the press is guaranteed under the Constitution. Ortega has made constant attacks on the media that talks negatively about it. Members or allies of himself have direct control of TV stations in Nicaragua. This allows friends or data to have any types of preparation for the protests that spawn as a result of his view in a positive way. Though the media that covers the protests in a negative way has been able to cause that attack as well. Stations just like Riot Radio Diario has had to build and trade it for the siege, and some, just like, have had their buildings completely destroyed. The Prensa slowly being eliminated by the Ortega. The government has cut their access to the government. They've had five deployments, so they have had to reduce two journals from about 100 to 36 journals. And the amount of papers being printed from 36
Oscar. My co-host Monica Crespo also has a report about press freedom. Monica, what made you decide to talk about female reporters in Somalia? Was there a specific story about a Somalian journalist that made you choose this topic?
Yes. To answer the first question, as an aspiring female reporter, I want to know more about females in different countries. And to answer your second question, the case of Furan Abayo, which I will talk about more later on my segment, was what inspired me to do this. So, as it is in most countries, journalism is not an easy profession, and this is no exception for Somalia. Somalia is a young country that became independent in 1960 from a former British protectorate and an Italian colony. Somalia collapsed into anarchy following the overthrow of the military regime of President Siad Barre in 1991. In this country, women tend to have lower levels of education, but there are still many women who have gotten education such as that of journalism. Although finally, Somalia's first ever media gender policy is in process in Puntland, which is a region in the northern eastern Somalia. This was made to ensure that both genders are provided with equal opportunities. Still, females are facing problems, as it was in the case of a young, prominent female journalist who was a victim of the more than 15 cases of journalists who have become subject to online harassment and intimidation. Another problem these women face is that there is still an ongoing civil war in this country, and for journalism in Somalia is dominated by men, and the majority of journalists are oppressed and in sad, unfortunate situations have even been killed.
Can you tell us about the victim of the ongoing war?
Yes, Furan Abayo, who was a 43-year-old Canadian-Somali woman, was one of the 26 killed over the weekend when Islamic gunmen stormed a hotel in the Somali port city of Kismayo. This news was covered all around the world because Furan Abayo was a lovely Somali Canadian that loved to share positive stories about her homeland. And she tried to focus on the beauty of it regardless of the issue and everything that her country is undergoing. And yes, it is true, journalists in general are in a vulnerable situation because they're exposed to the problems, but in their situation, it goes beyond security.
How does Somali females exist with their strict family members?
So, in Somalia, which is a dominated Muslim country, for a female to want to be a journalist is like a rebel move. It's also seen as breaking the norm. This is why it goes beyond security. It's about the honor, which to their family, wants to be a female journalist has been breaking their decision. As Sanab Farao, a Somali reporter, said, when we are talking about the challenges faced by female journalists, it is not only about security. There are many obstacles such as culture, tradition, the society, who have different perception about this profession. It is actually so sad, but this is a reality that most Somali female journalists are going through. But people are not talking about it because they want to avoid the issues, which is actually the same. Here in this country, there's a lot of pressure towards female reporters. Not as big as in other countries, but we still see. From Global Media News, this is Monica Crespo. Back to you, Mohammed.
Thank you, Monica. That's all for this week. Thanks to our wonderful video sound engineer, Kyle Brodsky, and many thanks to Monica Crespo for hosting with me.
Today we heard reports from Monica Crespo, Mohammed Fergali, Olivia Ferrara, John Greenberg, and Oscar Martinez.
Global Media News is brought to you by OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, and the Media Communications Department here at the State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest post at globalmedianews.org, where you can listen to all of our webcasts and even subscribe to our podcast feed.
Follow us on Twitter at OWWRGMM. Use our Twitter feed to keep up with the latest news for aspiring journalists and media professionals. That's at OWWRGMM. We'll be right back.